go into the fellowship hall.
Water.
majesty.
Empty-handed, but alive in his hands. Amen. Remember in Genesis, God took the dirt, right? And what did he do to it to make it alive? Breathed on it. It was empty before God got a hold of it. But then God breathed on that and became a living soul. We were dead apart from the grace of Jesus and the finished work of Christ. I've got a bracelet here. I know you can't see it from there, but it says tetelestai. Tetelestai is how it's pronounced. It is Greek for it is finished. The words that Jesus spoke on the cross. And so when someone says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the one that has finished the work. Believe in the name of Jesus who has finished the work. And place all of your faith in that. Jesus uttered those precious words as he was dying. It is finished. I've removed what man cannot keep to fulfill what man can keep because of me. Because of what I have done. I have fulfilled the law. And now you're under grace. It's finished. I'm thankful that I'll never know the cost of the sin that was on that cross. We will never have to pay the price for that because our faith is in Christ and he paid the price for us. We are loved by him, so loved by him. Love beyond our own comprehension, love beyond what we can even imagine. We see, as human beings, I don't care what we say, we have a very limited love. We really do. You may say you love your dog, but let that dog bite you 4 or 5 times, see if you keep it. You're going to be loving him out the house. You love your wife, right? You love your husband, conditionally. You love your children, but really, there's times like, you know, me and Melly make jokes, says, hey, we love all of you, we don't like you sometimes. I mean, you know, we love you, we don't like you sometimes. But here's God. God sees us through all of our ugliness and our junk. And our sickness and our sin and our darkness and our bad thoughts and our wrong ways. But yet he went to the cross to pay that price in full for me and you. In full. Our debt has been canceled. The Bible says that he nailed those things that were against us. He took them out of the way by nailing them to his cross. And so that debt is no longer ours to pay or fulfill. Christ paid it for us. Hallelujah. Melly, come on up. I asked her to do a song tonight before we get into our message. As you can see, we're going to talk about tonight God chose you and how that every life has a purpose, every life has a meaning, and you're here for a reason. Every life is. I don't believe in accidental life. I know we have, you know, men and women will say, oops, you know, oops, I did it again. You know what I'm saying? It's not one of those. There's no oops moments with God. Every life is orchestrated, designed, and given by the breath of God. Because it takes his hand to produce that life. And every life matters, and your life matters, and your life has a purpose. And we'll talk tonight about some men in the Bible and women that had a purpose and what God used them for and that he's got a purpose for you as well today in this generation, that he has a purpose for us. But this psalm I was going to sing is Nothing But a Miracle Will Do. She hadn't sung it in a while, and I wanted to sing this tonight. And you may be in a place tonight. Would you go say anything before you sung?
Just, you know how I feel. The Bible is a book of testimonies.
Yes.
How I feel. And I love this because I love the Old Testament. I know Joe Brown's not a fan.
Give us more volume, Brandon, on the red mic.
I know Joe Brown, Old Testament's not your favorite, but I love the Old Testament because sometimes you want to wander through the wilderness. Not, but it's just, for me, it's a reminder of what all God has done. If he did it then, why can't he do it for me now? And this song, because it touches base on several stories in the Old Testament, it just, I don't know, it witnesses to me.
Turn the other mics down except hers.
Sorry.
Yeah, this song, if there's some time in your life that you know you need a miracle, that you can't fix it yourself, you can't change it yourself, you can't move that mountain by yourself. There are things in our lives that come that absolutely have to have the miraculous hand of God to take care of. And this song talks about that. And I love what she says. It's so true that the Bible, as we're going to read tonight, as we go through some examples, it is a book of testimonies about what God did with that life, what God did in that situation. You know, we've talked about how God used a donkey to talk. You know, we see how God took a Red Sea and made it part. We see how God took a little shepherd boy with no experience and slew a giant. These are testimonies of miracles that God did. And the miracles haven't stopped because Revelations ended. Miracles are still happening every day. Every day, God is still God. And God don't never change. I say, God, still God. He don't never change. I say, God, still God. And I know that butchering that song, but you know the point. God is still God, and he don't change. And so she sings this song. I want you to picture your life and where you're at. And the altar, as you know, is always open at this church. And she sings this song. If you need a miracle and you say, Lord, I need a miracle. And you can make your way up here. Make your way up and just say, God, here I am. I need a miracle in my life. And receive that and believe that. And say, God, I know my miracle is on the way in my life.
When you tried everything, and everything you tried has failed, you're standing in the harbor, and your ship of hope has sailed. Friends have no answers, and peace just can't be found. Oh, but there's a hand of mercy who can turn it all around. I know he's more than able, and he will deliver you. When nothing but a miracle will do. When you cried out in the darkness, and no one seems to hear, just because you cannot see him doesn't mean he's not near. Perhaps he's only waiting till you've done all you can do, until he's the only thing left that's left to hold on to. When nothing but a miracle will do, there's nothing that the hand I'll bring you through. Well, I know he's more than able, and he will deliver you. When nothing but a miracle will do. In your times of trial, when you face the giant of doubt, oh, just listen to the crowd of witnesses and hear them crying out. From a lion's den, from a fiery furnace, from the belly of a whale. Through prison walls and a hopeless tomb walks a God who never fails. I hear Daniel, Jonah, Peter, and Paul. They're shouting with Lazarus, he delivered us all. When nothing but a miracle will do, there's nothing that the hand of God cannot bring you through. Well, I know nothing but a miracle will do. When nothing but a miracle will do. When nothing but a
this many times, we believe in Bigfoot. If you do, that's fine. Maybe he's out there. I ain't seen him. We believe in green aliens with little horns in their heads. And, you know, one NBA player says he believes the earth's still flat. So, anyway, with all that said, we got people that don't believe in miracles. Every time a life is born is a miracle. If you ever had kids or grandkids and hold them in your arms, you know it's a miracle. All right, we're going to read about God chose you. Aren't you glad? Look at your neighbor and say, God chose you. Now look at him and say, why? Makes you think, don't it? We are here on purpose. I want everybody to understand that. We're intentional. We're not a mistake. We're not a late night, one night stand gone wrong. We're not a backseat 1965 gone wrong. We are here because God wanted us here. No matter the means of how that came about, we're here because God is still the giver of life. And so we have hardships in life. I know we've made comments maybe through our life. I didn't ask to be born. Y'all had me. Why am I going through all of this junk in my life? Well, you're going through this junk because God's got something for you. And you're supposed to be here. And so what we got to start doing is understanding that God does have a purpose. And that purpose of God needs to become our plan. I think that's important to realize. Because we can make all the plans we want in the world. But if they don't line up with God's purpose, it's futile. You know, we make plans about what we want to be when we grow up. We make plans about, you know, where we want to live, where we want to move. Me and Melanie's made jokes for years. You know, we want to eventually be at the beach. That probably never happened because probably not God's plan. I want it to be, but you know what? It may not be. I may be like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, be stuck in this little crummy town the rest of my life. But you know, I mean, did I say that out loud? But you know what? That's okay if it's God's plan for my life, because I would rather be in God's plan for my life than to be in my own plan for my life. Because if I'm following the Lord, as the old lady sang in our church years ago, something good is about to happen to you. Remember that old song, something good? She'd get into it, a little black lady. She'd get, something good is going to happen to you. And she'd get all excited singing that song. I mean, she'd feel it. She believed it. Well, something good is going to happen to you because you're here on purpose. You are planned. You are designated. You are appointed. You are designed to be here in this season, in this moment. I know many of us wish we were in a different generation, because most of us do. Me and Melanie look back and we think, oh, you know, back in the days, the late 1800s or something, when, you know, women wore the frou-frou dresses and men wore the hat and they tipped it and they were gentlemen. And, you know, we didn't have all this junk going on, and society was so much sweeter and different or whatever. And we can reminisce of that those days. You know, if you were born in the 40s or 50s or 60s, grew up in those days, those are your years of yonderhood. And, you know, I was an 80s kid. So I look back, and the 80s to me is the greatest generation ever, because it was my generation, right? You know, the 80s, it produced the best music. Still the best music, I think, is the 80s. I'm just a little biased, but still the best music. You can't help but dance to 80s music. I don't care what you say. It makes you feel good. When you hear the song, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun," oh, girls, just what? You can't help but, if you're a guy, straight guy, you're going to dance to that. It makes you feel good. And can nobody resist the Michael Jackson, you know, "Beat It." Just beat it. Just beat it. I mean, everybody knows that song. But you know what? I'm not in the 80s no more. I'm in 2018, and I'm in a intentional season now that God wants me in. So what am I doing in 2018? Don't tell me what you did for me yesterday, right? What are you doing for me right now? So we'll get in the scriptures. Let's start in Jeremiah 1:5. Many of you know this verse. This is Jeremiah 1:5. Look at this. He's telling Jeremiah, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you." Now, this isn't just for Jeremiah. Like, well, yeah, he knew Jeremiah. Really? Don't you think God knows all of us? It ain't just Jeremiah. He knew Jeremiah before he even formed him. "And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified you." Sanctified. That's my word. I sanctified you before you come out of the womb. Now, this is a very spiritual verse on what the political world calls pro-life, right? Let's just think about that a minute. This is not a political statement. This is a scriptural statement. If God sanctified Jeremiah, set him apart before he came out of the womb, then that was a real life, and that life mattered. It's a good verse to point people to. "I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." In other words, before Jeremiah was born, bless his heart, he already had a purpose from God, and God already told him what he had to do. "You go be a prophet." And Jeremiah, bless Jeremiah's heart, Bill, he was not a Joel Osteen, was he? He was a doom and gloom prophet. I bet he wished, "Man, God, you couldn't make me like a Joel Osteen. You gotta make me. I'm always telling everybody they're going to die, and their city's going to be ravished, and repent before you die. Repent before you're destroyed. Oh, you heathens and you sinful, dark people. Oh, the judgment of God is going to come upon you." Who wants to go around preaching that all the time? My Lord. But that was his. Did I scare you? I'm sorry, but that was his purpose. And Jeremiah, as we know, was considered the what is it called, the sorrowful prophet, or the prophet of sorrow. There's even expressions, right? Don't be a Jeremiah. I mean, he always had sad news. I mean, it's good news, I guess, but it was delivered a sad way. You know, Jeremiah never came out and says, "Be the best you can be." That wasn't Jeremiah's ministry. His ministry was to declare the repentance to the Lord. So he knew him. He sanctified him. God had a purpose. God chose Jeremiah before he was born to fulfill a plan that God had laid out for him. Next verse. This is the Amplified. This is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare." This is not talking about government assistance. I'll make that very clear. It's talking about goodness upon their lives. "Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." That's God's plan for us. A future that produces a good final outcome. He didn't come to bring evil. He didn't come as an angry God. He came to redeem, as we read Sunday morning, John 3:17, right? He did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was Jesus' purpose. So he tells Jeremiah, saying here, God's got a purposed plan for you. He's choosing you for a good outcome in the end. So yes, we endure hardships because we're in the earth. We endure sickness, pain, poverty, divorce, loss of people we love, financial collapse, loss of house, loss of job, loss of car. Things in life happen like that. But we have a promise here because of what God did, that he has already prepared our future, already chosen us to walk in that future and to be a part of that future. So we celebrate our future because we know where we're going. Our future is not uncertain. Our future is not cloudy. Our future is not all mixed up. Our future is not what happens next. Our future is assured in Christ that he has already prepared a plan for us, that he's got it ready, waiting to unveil it in the last days for our lives. And that's good news. Hallelujah. I'm going to amen myself tonight. Go ahead. Next verse. This is out of the Amplified as well. This is Isaiah, another prophet of the Old Testament. Look what he says. But now, in spite of past judgments for Israel's sins, thus saith the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Here he is again talking about being the creator, forming, calling, birthing. Next verse, Brandon. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. This is still said verse 1 on my thing. I'm sorry. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've ransomed you by paying a price. My bracelet. Right? I've ransomed you by... I got long sleeves on. I can't see it. Anyway, here's another one. Teletestai. I have paid. It is finished. I have ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. Isn't that good news? I've called you by your name and you are mine. Wow. I'm God. He called me by name. We have a real living God. God is not some faraway deity that we can't connect to. He is a very intimate, real, up close, personal, every day in our hearts, in our lives. We can have relationship with our God. It's not something that we have to pray way out and hope that our prayer reaches the ears of our God. But our God came to heaven. He came to us. We do not go to him. The tabernacle of God now dwells, the Bible says, with men. We are part. We are in him and he is in us. So when I talk to God, he's right there. When I whisper to God, he's right there. That's why we can feel his Holy Spirit move upon our flesh and upon our thoughts, upon our lives. That's why we can feel the joy of the Lord. We can feel the sorrow of our sins. We can feel the peace that floods our soul. All of those things because we serve a living God who is here right now. He's not distant. He's right now. And he's omnipresent everywhere we go. He is here. Everywhere we take them. I've called you by your name and you are mine. Next scripture. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. I thought about right here of Moses, the Red Sea. Think about that. When the water stood before them, they did not keep them from crossing over. When you walk through the fire, Melon, who do you think about on that verse? When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame even kindle upon you. That's good news unless you're trying to start a fire pit. It's harder to start a fire than you think. That make it look easy in them cowboy movies. Go get some wood and they're roasting, you know, the big old rabbit over the grill and they got their hot coffee on it. You know, fire. That's all Hollywood. It's harder to light a fire than you think. Believe me. At least it is for me. Think about this. Wherever you go, he's saying, I've got you. Because I've chosen you. If I've chosen you, I'm going to keep up about where you're going. If I've chosen you, you think I'm going to take my eyes off of you, my ears off of you, my hand off of you? I didn't choose you just to let you run wild. When you're raising your children, if you're a good parent, and all of you at Living Word are because y'all are the best, a good parent does not let their child just run around loose out of their sight when they're little. You take your 4-year-old into a Walmart, hey mom, I'm going to the toys. Okay. Really? If you do, I'm going to say this, bad parent. You keep your eyes on your son because, or your daughter, because God gave you that son or that daughter. And so you keep your eyes, even when they're grown, you care about them. When they're grown, you keep up with them. When they're grown, you give them advice. When they're grown, your eyes don't go off of them because they're yours. They got your name. We have the name of the Lord. He's called us by name. And so if he chose us, he didn't choose us to lose us. He chose us to keep us. Think about it. I chose Melanie. Aren't you glad, baby? I chose Melanie. Of all the women, all the foxes out there I could have had, I chose Melanie. I went up one day and says, I choose you. Do you choose me back? Like the old looks when you're a little boy, right, in school. Do you like me? Yes or no? And you had a little box. I chose Melanie. She chose me. I didn't choose Melanie, and she didn't choose me for it to be a temporary thing. It was to be a forever thing. And for God, it's a forever thing. He called you and he chose you. I know tragedy happens. I know problems happen. I know that our life can go in a whirlwind. It can make a complete 180 overnight sometimes. We can get a phone call, change our world. We can have a health scare, change our world. All that can happen. We can lose someone tragically. I know we go through battles, but it doesn't mean that God has stopped choosing you because you're going through a battle. God's hand is still on you, and the future outcome awaiting on you cannot be changed by what's happening now. The future is secure. The plan is in place, and all the gates of hell cannot stop the plan God has waiting on you. Your future is sealed by the plan of God. So trust that, and don't get off course. Next scripture. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people that you should show forth. Here's why we're chosen: to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are chosen to celebrate our redemption. We're chosen to celebrate Jesus. We're chosen to show the light to others. As Randy's theme for VBS is this year, you know, be the light. Are you showing the light? We are the light of the world. They see our God through our lives. And no, we don't have to be perfect, but we need to walk like children of God, that they see our Heavenly Father through us. They see our forgiveness. They see our love. They see our mercy. They see our understanding. They see our compassion. They see the things that point us to a loving Father. We are chosen. You are chosen. I want to go to some people here now. Melanie's talking about people in the Bible, and this goes perfect with what she sung a while ago. Let's go through some of these. God chose Abraham to start a nation. Remember what he said? Abraham, leave your country, leave your friends, leave your family. I've got something for you. I'm going to take you to the land and show you a land you've not yet been into. Now, this is saying something. To leave all that he knew, all he's familiar with, to leave everybody he loved, and take his journey to somewhere that he didn't really know where he was going. But God chose this. Here's the impact that one person can have. Abraham changed everything. The Bible even says we are the seed of who? Abraham. His seed's still going on. Talking about being the man. His seed is still going on. You look at Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of our time, who preached for 60 years, how one man's obedience to the calling of God, as God chose this farmer boy from North Carolina, and how he reached millions and millions and millions in every country, every language, every tribe, the millions of lives that have been impacted by one person. We make more of a difference than we realize if we'll fulfill God's plan. It don't have to be we've got to reach millions in a crusade in a stadium, but are you even reaching the one you're working with? Are you reaching the cashier that you see every day at Family Dollar? You know, are you reaching the waitress at Logan's on Sunday that you see her, you go there enough that she's regular? Do you ever say, hey, how you doing? How's life going? Can I pray for you? Do you need prayer? Open up a conversation. You don't know what might happen. That she is serving tables, but she is dying inside while she's smiling for you. We all can make a difference. God chose Noah, once again, one man, to save mankind. What a responsibility that was, right? Did you know they got a big ark now in Kentucky? Has anybody been to see that yet? If you heard about it, it's a huge replica of an ark they've built in Kentucky. I actually pulled it up. It's about a 6-7 hour drive, I think. It's about a 6-hour drive, I think, or five from here. But it's a big, huge, supposed to be similar to what the Bible says, of the ark that's on display. That you can go walk on, you can tour it, you can look at it. Here is one man that God said, start building. I'm going to flood the earth. He built that ark through all the scoffing, through all the laughing, through all the ridicule. I mean, think about this. Think about this. They didn't know what rain was. I mean, what if I kept telling y'all, church, it's going to snow, a foot of snow next week, July the 23rd, here in North Carolina. So go get your galoshes, your boots, your coat, your toboggan. Get your milk and your bread. We're canceling church next Sunday ahead of time because it's coming. Y'all would think I was an idiot. It's not going to snow a foot in July, North Carolina. Here is Noah doing something so extreme that nobody understood, that made no sense to the natural mind, but God chose Noah. You know why he chose Noah? And you know why he chooses you? Because you're going to do what you're chosen to do. Eventually. For some of you, you're a little slow. For some of you, it takes a while. For some of you, you're some Pauls out there on the road marching the wrong way, or you're a Jonah running the other way, or you're a Peter that's hiding as a coward because you don't want to confess Jesus in front of everybody. But eventually, they all did that. So when God chooses you, you're going to fulfill the plan. So God chooses you on purpose, and he knew Noah was strong enough to endure the ridicule, to endure all that, and it took a long time before the flood happened after he spoke to him many, 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 many years. Number three, God chose Moses to free the slaves. And Moses, as we know, was a murderer. Murdered a Hebrew, buried him in the sand, and ran away. Who does God call up? Inmate 46392. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Get My People Out. Moses, God chose this Hebrew to deliver 2 million plus people out of 400 years of bondage and slavery and carry them out of that place and lead them to the brink of the promised land. One man fulfilling a plan. One man, one purpose. Next slide. Number four, God chose Joshua to fulfill the promise. Remember when Moses died? He didn't cross over. He died outside the promised land. But God raised up Joshua and says, I'll be with you like I was Moses. Take my people across the Jordan. Take them across and carry them in. All the lands your eyes behold, that will be your promised land. Flowing with milk and honey, you shall inhabit that. Joshua had big shoes to fill, didn't he? I mean, he had big shoes to fill, having to come behind Moses. But God raised him up because God chose Joshua to finish the job, and he did. God chose Esther to be a queen, and she was a foreigner. But yet God raised her up and put her in a position to be blessed and to be elevated because of her loyalty and her love. God chose this one woman to help change a nation. We think our life doesn't matter because I'm a forklift driver, you know, because I'm a nurse, because I'm, you know, an auto auction guy, because I'm a food line person, because I'm an electrician, I'm a plumber, I'm a factory worker. Maybe you're unemployed altogether. God can use you to impact somebody and something around you. But we have to be a willing vessel to surrender to the plan God has. That's why it's important that God's purpose becomes our plan, because things begin to change when we follow that. God chose David to become king. As you know, he was a shepherd boy. He was not in line to be king. Jesse called all of his sons before Prophet Samuel. And Samuel said, this one's not it, this one's not it. He kept saying, you got any more kids? I got one more. But you don't want him, really. You don't want him. He's a 17-year-old kid out there tending sheep. Who wants a 17-year-old sheep herder to be king? He's way down the line of order. He says, go get him. And when David appeared before the prophet with no hesitation, that's the one. And God took one man, a shepherd boy, raised him up to become one of the greatest kings of Israel. one person, one life, we can make an impact. Next verse, next scripture, or next slide. God chose Samson to be a judge, a leader. Before kings came about, Samson was a leader in the country. And what I put in parentheses there, if you remember, Samson came from a barren womb. His mom couldn't have kids. Her womb was shut up. And God spoke to her. She prayed to God for a child. And God gave her that gift and said, by giving this gift now, he needs to be a Nazarene and he needs to be dedicated unto me. And here is Samson, who shouldn't have been born, right? The womb was dead. Where'd he come from? This is long before they had medical science. This is long before they had pills you could pop, needles you could take. This is long before they had, you know, all this the stuff we know today that can alter the body and things. But God opened up Samson's mother's womb to produce on purpose this life. Because Samson had a purpose. And what stories about Samson we read, right? How he slew all those Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. How he carried that gate of Gaza up that hill for miles on his shoulders. And then his last act, of course, was tearing down the temple with the pillars. In his last act, he was blind. He was humiliated. He was in a bad place. But God still answered his prayer in the end and used him. And you know why God used him? Because he chose him. Look, if God chooses you, it's not a mistake. Not a mistake. God, why you choose me? God, why have I got to do it? Lord, why are you speaking to me? God, I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the skills. I don't have the talent. I don't have the education. I don't have the gifts. I don't have any of this. If God chose you, he will give you what you need to fulfill his plan. The thing we got to realize is, are we on God's plan or our plan? I don't know where my future will take me as a pastor. I have no idea. I could preach 30 more years. I could preach 2 weeks. I don't know what God's plan is. I'll be here in 2 weeks, I hope. No one's scared nobody. I'll make sure this building gets paid off. I don't know what God's plan is. But I know I've got to stay in God's plan and not mine. God, whatever your plan is the best plan. Because that's the plan that's going to work out for me. Just like a good father tells their children, you know, Wes and Lauren have three little girls, and I guarantee you that they don't just let them go stay anywhere. That they want to check it out. Hey, Mommy, my little friend will be coming to spend the night at her house. Well, what's her name? Well, where do they live? Well, and then she has to check it out. You're not just going to let your kid go somewhere that you know nothing about because her welfare is at stake. So Lauren is looking after the interest of her children to the best of her ability. And the little girl might get mad and pitch a fit. I can't go because I said so. That ain't no answer. You know, when they're little inside, you got to just say that because I said so. Because you can't tell them the answer. They don't need to know the answer because I said so. I just, you know, whatever. She gets mad. That's okay. She's looking out for the interest of her child. God is looking out for the interest of us. That's why it's important we follow his plan. We not agree with it. And we don't like it. I never, ever, ever was in my plan or in the cards for me to ever start a church. That was not in my plan. I promise you. It was not in my plan. But it was in God's plan. And so as it happened, as it evolved, I had to go with it. I remember talking to Bill before I left Walmart. You know, I talked to him. I said, you know, I feel like I'm going to quit at some point, but I don't feel led yet. I don't know what to do, da-da-da-da. I remember talking about all that before I left. It wasn't really a thing I wanted to do, but then God began to put that desire so deep that I knew that's what I had to do. So I did. There's times in our lives that God will take us off course of our own plan to put us where he wants us. You losing your job all those years at Lowe's, that wasn't your plan. I mean, that's a good company. You loved it. You were a good employee. I don't want to get a phone call saying, hey, you know, you're gone. Well, okay, what happens there? You know, wasn't in your plan to your husband to be gone, pass away. That wasn't your plan, you know. Lord, I didn't plan that. That wasn't what I'd seen happen in 20 years. You know, I expected 20, 30 more, whatever, 40 more years. That wasn't what I expected. Our plans can change, but the purpose of God does not. And that's what's important to realize. That through all the changes of our plan, that the purpose of God goes on. We just got to find what that purpose is. And celebrate it. God chose Jonah to save a nation. Remember, he went and preached at Nineveh, but he didn't want to. He was a runner, not this kind of runner, not 5K. I mean, he ran. When God told him to go preach Nineveh, that homeboy went the other way, far as he could go, the other direction. You think that's going to change God's plan? Well, God, I'm not going to go. I mean, it'd be like God telling me, hey, James, I want you to go to New York City and preach, okay? And I end up going to Arizona. I ain't going to stop God. He'll just cause something, a rattlesnake in Arizona to swallow me whole or something and keep me there until, okay, you going to go now? Yeah, Lord, get me out of the snake. Yeah. He spits me up on the dry ground. I go to New York and I preach. Jonah went the long way and the hard way around fulfilling the plan of God. But guess what he did? He fulfilled it. You know why he fulfilled it? God chose him. Man, God chose him. God chose Joseph to be a prince, and he was a convict. He was in prison for 2 years, falsely accused, yes, but he was a prisoner for 2 years. God called him out of the prison cell and immediately that day promoted him to a prince because God chose Joseph. Joseph, remember, got thrown, did a whole series on Joseph first year. Remember, he got thrown by his own brothers into a pit and was going to be left there to die. Then they thought, well, we don't want to blood on our hands. They saw this Ishmaelite band going by, this group of mercantile people, and they said, well, let's sell him as a slave. So his own brothers sold him as a slave. Then he gets promoted, but then he gets falsely accused and gets thrown in prison for 2 years. I'm wondering if Joseph's thinking, God, I don't understand this. I'm a good boy. My daddy loves me. You know, I love you. You've given me these dreams. This woman tried to get me to go to bed with her, and I ran the other way. And because I ran, I get thrown in prison. Are you kidding me? You got some explaining to do, God, right? I don't understand it. But it didn't. None of those circumstances changed the final purpose of God. The purpose of God was to get Joseph from where he was into Egypt. It didn't say it had to be smooth, a one-way airline flight, 30 minutes with peanuts and coffee. He went the hard way, pit, slave, prison. But you know what? He got there. And he ended up fulfilling the plan of God. Next slide. God chose a virgin to carry the Messiah. He chose little Mary, breathed in Mary's womb, and planted the gift of grace inside of her. What made Mary so special? Nobody knows other than God just chose her. God chose her to carry the Messiah. That was her purpose. That was God's plan because it had to come to humanity, to redeem humanity. And this was the only vehicle and the only measurement. The only way it could be measured was to come through woman, but not from the seed of man, but he had to be delivered to the human world. And he was. And Mary was chosen for that. What a great call. God chose Peter to start a revolution. And remember what he was before? A coward, wasn't he? He denied Christ 3 times. And Jesus told me to do that. You'll deny me 3 times. For the rooster crows. And he did. The Bible speaks of all 3 times. You can find the Bible. It's in there. I don't give you more homework. Randy's not got you homework. But it's in there. Where'd they go to Peter? Aren't you with that Jesus? Nope. Mm-mm. Not me. Second time. Aren't you with that? Nope, not me. He was hiding from the fact he followed Jesus. But God, who did he choose when the Holy Spirit filled that upper room and they came out? After that beautiful moment and experience of the Holy Ghost being poured in that place. And Peter came out of the upper room and he was no longer a coward. He started a revolution. He began to preach and preach hard the word of Jesus. And he was not ashamed. 3,000, the Bible says, responded to his first message. Talk about growing a church. Man, that's a pretty good response. 3,000. God chose Paul to reach the heathen. And Paul, as you know, was a rebel. He was actually part of killing some of the Christians, martyring them, being part of it. going to arrest people who believe in Jesus, then God chose him. How dare any of us say, well, why'd God choose them? They're a felon. They've been in prison. They're a drug addict. They're an alcoholic. They're a wife beater. They're this. They're that. They're this. They're that. Look, God chose Paul, who was blaspheming the Lord, who was arresting people, punishing people, even consenting unto death for some people just because they believed in Jesus. That's a pretty bad man. But that's who God chose to reach the heathen. Then the last slide right here. God chose you to become what? That's what the .. means. God chose you to become what? If your plan is only your plan, then you are not fulfilling God's purpose. Because God has a work for each of us. You know, little Tay and Kingston, they're going to the beach this week, but little Tay, every few weeks he'll get some business cards off my table, church cards. He says, hey, James, I got these cards. I'm going to give them out to my friends at school. And he talks like a little country bumpkin. I said, Tay, that's so sweet. Tay's what, 6 years old? I've got those cards out there for a reason. They are for the taking. I've got 500 of them. I got plenty. Don't worry about it. Take those cards, plant a seed, and give it away to someone who may need to hear about Jesus, who may need to hear a voice that can pray with them, talk with them. Pass that out. Here's a little child being used to pass out. I've got Living Word cards passed out of his school. Now, they probably got thrown in the playground or in a commode or something. Yeah, kids are. But they made it to the school. That is amazing. I know Teresa takes cards, you say, and gives them out to people. There are times I leave one on the table. Sometimes we eat lunch after Sunday. I leave one on the table for the server. You know, just as a they want church, leave it on there. A little note on it. Come join us. Come visit us. What does God have planned for you? He's got something planned. Think about where your life came from. I think about my sweet Joe and Sharon Brown, who I've loved so dearly. They've been with us at the very beginning of the church. And how they were in Ohio, they were in the state of Ohio until the year, 98, 99? When y'all, 2002. Guess what year we started the church? 2002. I think about that. They were in Ohio all those years, and here these two Yankee Baptists move down here and become part of our church. I'll never forget Joe Brown. He'd been coming to the fire department for a while. He says, we're talking about joining the church. We want to join, but I got a few questions before I join. Can we go to lunch after maybe over here at Arby's on 90 after church one Sunday? I said, sure. So I went with him, and he asked me some questions about what I – he doesn't want to know what you believe about some things. And so I talked to him. And I never forget, I said – he goes, well, how – he asked me some things. I can't remember what I brought up, but I talked to him about what we believe about all the gifts of Spirit and, you know, about baptism. I told him, I said, now, I do not baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I baptize in the name of Jesus. And Joe looked at me, and for some people, that could be a clincher, you know. For Joe Brown, he looked at me, he goes, well, as long as you don't baptize in the devil, I don't care. I thought, man, if more people could be that way, you know. I never forget that. As long as you don't baptize in the devil, I'm okay. But I told him that, and then he ended up, you know, of course, been with us all these years, him and Sharon. They drive from Mooresville. They've been with us for 16 years from Mooresville driving. Most services lately, they have sometimes health issues that keep them at home. But even through health issues, they press their way here. You know, I mean, here's this older couple on a Wednesday night that come from Mooresville to be with us. And I just appreciate y'all so much and really love y'all. And what was my point for saying all that? Does anybody know? I had a point I was going to make about that. But anyway. Oh, God's plan. Yeah, thank you. God chose. God chose Joe and Sharon to come be a part of this ministry. I mean, they you lived in what city, Ohio? Canton. Right in Canton area. So from Canton, Ohio, they moved to Mooresville, North Carolina. Of all the places in the United States they can move in 2002, they moved to Mooresville, where I happened to get Sharon, where Sharon got a job at the store I happened to be at, and I'm a preacher, and we get talking, and then boom, 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 bye, 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 and there it is. Yes, I was. Yeah, that was a good one, too. Yeah, Christina. Mm-hmm. Yep. God has a plan. And our plans can change, but it doesn't mean God's purpose hasn't. No matter what you're battling, no matter what you've been through tonight, no matter what situation life has thrown at you, trust. You know the old saying, take lemons, make lemonade out of it? We get lemons sometimes, don't we? But God can still make lemonade out of those lemons. God can take the brokenness and make it whole. God can take the tragedy and make it victory. God can take the loss and make it gain. God can take what is dead and make it alive. Just trust that. If he chose you, he's not going to unchoose you, and he's not going to leave you. He chose you to fulfill in you whatever purpose that is. So what you've got to decide is, Lord, what do you want me? What's your purpose and plan for me? Because I'm wide open, God, to whatever your plan is in whatever season of my life that I'm in. Whether, you know, Paul said in one place, and I'll close with this. Paul said in one place, I've learned to be content, whatever situation I'm in. Whether I'm rich, poor, sick, well, blah, blah. If we could learn that, to be content in whatever season we're in, and realize that whatever season we're in, good and bad, valley and mountain, that God's purpose will still be fulfilled. We got to get some hardship sometimes, but that's okay. Our final outcome is, yeah. Yeah, and Melon could be somewhere else, and I'm, you know, I want to be honest, Melon could be at a lot higher level income-wise, a lot higher. But she is knows that's where God has her. It fulfills her. I mean, she could make a lot more money somewhere else, but she stays there because that's where God has her. And that's what I'm saying, that you know, our plans aren't always the best plan. It sounds good on paper. We all want more money. I don't know if anybody, money ain't important to me. Quit your lying, pants on stupid fire. We need money, church. Care nobody says. We like to have money in our pocket. We broke, we miserable. Can I get a witness up in here? But the point is, sometimes money's not the whole deal. It's not the whole enchilada. Everybody's heard that expression, right? I said that one time when my kids went, what does that mean, the whole enchilada? That was you, yeah. You should know about enchiladas. But money's not always the whole enchilada. It's about other things. So I know God's put Melly where she's supposed to be. That's for sure. For that. Or the wisdom comes. We will. Yeah, she's having her surgery about 10:30 in the morning. And let's pray for her right now, if y'all would. Lord, we pray for Ashley that you watch over her during this surgery, God. I know she's nervous about it. I pray you give her peace and rest tonight and know that she's in your hands, God. You chose her, and she's going to be okay. I pray for a smooth procedure and that everything is great and she comes out feeling well. And I pray for no side effects. And I pray she says nothing stupid when she comes out in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you'll stand up, we'll close out in prayer. If you have an offering tonight you want to give, your offering or tithes or whatever, put it in the offering plate over here against the wall before you leave. And if you got kids, grab them. And don't forget them. And be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock if you can. Excited about Sunday to see what God has in store for us. Father, we thank you for your blessings upon this service and for your word. We thank you that you did choose us. And that choosing was intentional. That choosing was on purpose. And because of that, Lord, you will see us through to the end. Through all of our obstacles, through all of our storms, through all of life's changes, does not mean your purpose has changed. It just means our journey has changed to get to the purpose. And we pray, God, you fulfill that purpose and that you use all of us to impact someone's life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.